Us? Right place, right time, ABC, could have been. What could be more sublime? Setting up Saturday. For 30 years, we'll borrow your time if you lend us your ears. It's could have been champions. Time.
Thanks, Hunk, and welcome to the Could Have Been Champions on ABC Local Radio. Good to have you with us wherever you are, listening on the wireless or on the digital stream on the internet or on digital radio, wherever you're hearing us around the world. Good to have you with us. I'm Jeff Richardson. It is good morning to Torch McGee.
Yes, good morning, Richo, and good morning to everyone out there.
Billy Baxter.
Good morning, Jeff. Thank you very much. It's good to see you. Good to see my colleagues, and nice to know that people are listening to us throughout the world.
Greg Champion, hello.
Yes, hello, wherever you are up the digital stream.
And we're going
to
go down.
Same to you.
We're going to go down the digital stream, and we've got a is it a microwave link, Mark? We've got. No, he's not. Whatever it is we've got, it works down to Geelong, where Ian Cover is in the grandstand box. Covey, come in.
Good morning to you, Richard. Good morning, colleagues, and good morning wherever you might be listening, even in Hong Kong.
Hong Kong?
Also honkers.
Yeah, well, I rang a chap this morning who normally comes to the footy with me, among others.
Yeah.
Tom. Mm-hmm. Not his real name. Mm-hmm. And, no, it is his real name. And Tom, I rang him this morning, said, oh, look, I'm doing the radio, that I won't see it till 1 o'clock.
Yeah.
And he said, that's okay, I'm not coming. I said, why, what are you doing? He said, I'm in Hong Kong.
Gone to get a suit, has he, Kate?
He's gone to get a suit.
And, a safari suit, I hope.
And then he's going out to Sha Tin to back something in the booth.
I think he might be. And he's gone to get a suit in a safari suit in Club Colours. So he's listening over the web.
Oh, good. Good.
So there we are, truly an international program.
No doubt about it.
Did you go past the Bowen Oval on your way to the Cadinia Park today, did you, Cove?
No, I came past the Common, though, Billy.
Ah.
Yeah. Did you ever play on the Common on a Saturday morning in Little League?
Yeah, I did, I think. Yeah, I think I played against the Imperials there. But
that, yeah.
Haven't they got a kind of a Puffing Billy thing down there on the Common?
Well, they might have some years ago or something.
Oh, it's gone, has it?
Mm. But I came past the Common. Mm. Well, Billy, I used to play on a Saturday morning in the Little League. Sorry, listeners, but just... reminiscing for a minute here, we used to play, and there's a lot of people this morning probably listening because they've got their own kids at Oz Kick and Little League, and this is where you start. Unfortunately for Billy and I, that's where it finished. But we used to play at the Rugby Oval,
yep.
St Augustine's,
yep.
Belmont Common,
yep.
On somewhere up behind Oberon, up there in Belmont.
Yep.
Played against the Panthers up at Winter Reserve or something, did we?
The Eagles up there or the Panthers?
Might have been the Panthers, Billy. Mm. Oh, the Eagles might have run around there too.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry, chaps.
I thought the flags might be at half-mast at the South Bowen Oval, Covey.
In respect of the sad passing of Gordon Butch Reid.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. I was with some friends of Butch's last Sunday and...
number 29 for the Cats.
Yes, which is a famous number at the club now.
Yeah.
Worn by Kenny Hinckley as well as by Gary Jr., mm. And Butch played about 60 games for the Cats.
Yep.
Was a workmanlike performer on and off the field because he was a tradie.
Yep.
A plumber. And we'll be sad. Mr. Geelong players wore black armbands last Friday night as a mark of respect to Butch, yeah.
So he was a utility in a utility.
Yes, exactly right. He was a workmanlike on and off the field, and he was a utility on and off the field, exactly.
Very good.
But I actually just arriving at the ground today...
Mm.
Folks, fans and colleagues,
mm-hmm.
You've all heard one of the great expressions in football, mm-hmm. The premiership window.
Yes.
I have seen the premiership window.
Is it open or closed?
Is it got louvers?
No, it's got fixed glass.
When did it switch from a premiership window from a premiership window?
Oh, well, premiership window then. Sorry, Mr. South Australia.
Right.
The new premiership stand at Geelong, which was opened at the start of the season, has in the back wall of it, facing onto the car park here, they've put a glass window facing into the car park as well as into the stand, and then they put shelves in it and put the premiership cups on display. So even if you're driving past at 1 o'clock in the morning, you can pop in and look at them in the premiership window.
They're beautifully lit, are they?
Correct, yeah. They've got this sort of...
All set up for a smash and grab from someone from Norlane.
No, don't you go stereotyping suburbs in Geelong.
I never lived in Norlane, thank you, Chance.
I meant someone from Taparoo.
Yeah,
Woodville Gardens.
From Port Adelaide.
Well, it's just the Geelong way, isn't it, Ian, to share it with the people.
That's exactly right. And the great thing is, Billy, that they're on these shelves, and then around the edge of the glass case that you look in, they've got that blue and white bead lighting that you might have around the edge of the disco floor.
How very Geelong.
All it's missing is a mirror ball.
Well, that's good. That's traditional values. You know you're in Geelong.
The old disco lights from the dinosaur.
Well, from the Cats disco, I'd wager. So anyway.
Very good. And, of course, Melbourne playing Geelong today.
Yes, well, they made the long
rivals.
They made the long trip down yesterday.
Yes.
The long trip down from Darwin.
Yes.
Where did they stay, Cove?
The newspaper this morning described it as, quote, a Geelong hotel, unquote.
Oh, it's probably some boarding school.
Can't you get on to find that out? Be investigative.
There's only one. That's a travel lodge.
When the graziers came in from the Western District for the sheep, the wool sales, where did they usually stay?
They stayed at the Geelong Club.
I don't think they'd let the Melbourne players in there, would they?
Or the Hamilton Hume.
If Bobby still had the park, would they be out at the park? Would and Bobby would be bringing the breakfast trays around now.
I think, Torchy, they're at the Warren Ponds Motel.
I don't know. I can see Dean Bailey and the boys out at the Sphinx.
So anyway, look, this is just how much largesse there is at Geelong these days.
Mm. Yeah.
We let them train on Cadinia Park yesterday.
Oh, really?
See, that's how much football's changed.
I understand there was a Geelong Football Club has a female supporters group called the Nine Lives, and they were having a lunch here yesterday. I think a lot of the women in attendance at the Nine Lives luncheon then went outside and roundly booed the D's that they were training.
Well, that's all part of the training session. It's just getting them ready for today.
For hostilities.
No doubt, Kobe, there was only one way in which they trained. They had a light run on the open.
A light run. Isn't that good?
Bit of social work.
Football's had the light run, the fitness test. There's a few of those things, isn't there?
Yeah.
Or match practice. When you're told to bring your mouth guards.
Yes,
I got a bit of a shock. You know, looking at this week's footy.
How so?
Well, you know, like this week it's round number whatever. Mm-hmm. We're in the double figures.
Yeah, I know.
Richard, I'm the same as you. I went to get my tickets out this morning, and I looked at it and it said Geelong v Melbourne, and then it had this big 10. I said, no, they've got this printed wrong. I know we're playing Melbourne, but it's only about round 7.
That's what I thought. We're nearly halfway through the season.
Can't come soon enough for an Adelaide fan.
You had a win, didn't you?
And this was after I said on air last week, don't tip them until I say so.
No, there's been lots going on down in Adelaide. There's been dignified retirements, all sorts of newsworthy things.
Yeah. What happened there, Torch?
Dignified retirement?
No, why did Goodwin announce that he's going at the end of the season and the next day Tyson said, I'm going straight away?
Well, maybe there was more than one tap on the shoulder.
Mm-hmm. So is there a difference between a dignified retirement and a not-so-dignified retirement?
I think you might be onto something.
And then there has to be the staged, managed retirement.
Yeah. Yes. And then there's the ongoing speculation about whether there will be a farewell game.
And don't forget the Yarra Lumla handover.
Well, there's currently a gentleman going around for the Bulldogs who, according to the small paper, has 48 hours in which his future will be decided.
Is he on football's death row?
He is.
He's a dead man walking.
I think they're going to get Eddie Murphy out of jail to help him.
48 hours.
I tell you, there's a few others who are on 48 hours.
Yeah.
If all this... The word brouhaha was invented for a reason, and we've had a lot of it this week, and it's all come from the two new franchises.
Mm-hmm.
But the one, there's been enough smoke blown out of Western Sydney this week. But now I'm thinking about this suggestion that Gold Coast have actually already signed some players,
but
they're sworn to secrecy.
Mm.
Oh, and what's that legislation, freedom of information? Can't that be brought into action?
Mm.
'Cause If they have actually signed them, shouldn't there be a way of finding out? And once we do find out, I'd say certain blokes wouldn't be picked again for the rest of the year, would they?
Well, also...
I think one coach has already declared that would happen, yes.
Well, isn't there an unwritten... is it axiom?
Oh, what a lovely word. Nice use of axiom.
Isn't there an unwritten Brian Cadd that there are no secrets in football?
That's what I thought.
Either
the Gold Coast are making it up, in which case, what a lot of nonsense.
Who are they said to have signed, Jeff?
Well, this is it. They can't say.
They said several
but they're,
players.
They're so annoyed because they would really like to say because they're so pleased with themselves.
And then, Richo, what's going to happen when the first name comes out and someone comes to you and says, such and such has signed with them? You will have to say, I knew that, but...
It was sworn to secrecy.
I was sworn to secrecy. I couldn't say anything. Yeah.
It was embargoed.
I'm surprised, actually.
It is a nonsense.
Things obviously don't leak up there at the Gold Coast. Nothing gets out.
They're talking about Campbell Brown. Mm.
Well, there's been lots of players speculated about, but the thing is the club itself has now fueled it by coming out and saying, yes, they have already signed people.
Well, and the other thing is, don't we hear on a daily basis now that there are more accredited media than there are registered footballers in the AFL.
Yes.
Well, if they've signed people and then allowed to say, can't one of the 9,243 journos find out who it is?
Yes. Why aren't they going through wheelie bins as we speak?
That's right. Well, it's fairly obvious.
A bit of investigative journalism.
Am I going to have to tune into Triple J and hear John Safran telling Father Bob who it is?
Not much chance of that.
Now, actually, Covey, if you want to have a look at the Greater Western Sydney lineup, they're playing in Melbourne today.
Are they?
Up at Craigieburn. Which I think is the Tigers' training ground. Is that right, Richard?
Who are they playing?
They're playing the mighty Northern Knights up there.
Yeah.
Is your boy going around for the night?
He is indeed, yes.
Now, what happened now? Look, we've had a bit of grassroots footy with Billy and I reminiscing earlier. Let's talk grassroots. Last Saturday, your boy was going around at Cadinia Park?
He did, and the Knights had a very handy win of about 10 goals over the Falcons.
But wasn't this... Well, the Falcons haven't lost one for 17 years.
No, but they were just hiding all their good players from the Geelong recruiters.
That's right.
Is Jimmy McGee a forward or a back?
And he's been playing off the back line and the wing mainly. But I'd say that last week there was a lot of boys turning out for the college and the grammar who didn't get a chance.
The other thing is the under-18 national champs are on, so a lot of boys are getting a go at the under-18s and getting a chance to show what they can do.
If people want to see the future, get down to the MCG tomorrow morning. There'll be two great things happening there tomorrow morning. The Metro Vic Country.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a function for the Swans at the time before.
You're kidding me.
Oh, so there's a bit of the future and a lot of the past.
That's right. Yes.
And just on the grassroots and Craigieburn, I am meant to say to you gentlemen and the public that I attended the women's Vic Metro versus country annual game, actually biannual, it's every second year. Is that biannual?
Yes, that'll do.
Mm-hmm. 3 weeks ago, out at Craigieburn, and saw all the skills on display.
Mm-hmm. Good.
And good luck to all those women. Where Metro ran away with it in the end, but lovely to see some quality women's football.
Daisy playing, was she?
I couldn't work out whether Daisy was there or not. Even though
did
I don't
you buy
think
a program,
she may have been she may have been injured actually, but I did mix with the hierarchy and the administration. I was in the rooms before the game, hearing the rev up.
Yep.
And Brad Green and Colin Sylvia are the ambassadors from the Melbourne Footy
Club.
In the rooms, in the rooms with us.
Yep. Just on grassroots still too. Back to Torchy being down here last Saturday.
Yes.
Torchy, you preempted some drama off air. Did you get your dog in?
No.
You were concerned?
No, the dog didn't go. we thought this question was a better part of valour, so we kept the dog at home.
So you didn't come down to Cadinia Park and cause a scene by saying, I'm bringing the dog in.
Right. No, we thought better. The cat's largesse, they probably would have let it in, but we didn't want to test the water.
Look, I know it's regarded by many people as the last remaining suburban ground, but no dogs allowed.
Actually, Cove, it's just as well because I'm acquainted with Torch's dog, or certainly some deposits it's liberally left down the side of Torchy's house, which on a pair of Rossi ripple-soled desert boots lingers.
Besides, this is a cattery here. We don't want dogs.
That's right.
But hang on, we've missed the most important revelation.
What's
which
that?
There's a South Players reunion on tomorrow.
Yes,
before the game.
This is the first one of the year.
Yeah, there was one in Sydney a few weeks ago, but not many people got up for that one. But this one is definitely on tomorrow, and it's down at the MCG before the game.
Actually, there was one yesterday. I attended it. Torch didn't. More of that, though.
Ah.
What, a Swans one?
Yes.
There was a South Players reunion yesterday.
Yes, there was.
So is there a breakaway
group? Were you at it, Torch?
No, I didn't go yesterday.
South Districts? Or
No. This is the real thing.
Well, yeah. So they've had one on Friday, then they're having another one. They're buttering up again.
Yesterday's one was a special occasion to say farewell to a few famous heroes.
What they had, Covey, was the farewell to the legends. That's Leo...
Crouchy,
and of course
Mickey O.
Were they all there?
They were there. I was on their table. I'll give you the Christian names. On this table, Bobby
Skelton,
John
Harriet.
Thank you. Next table, John. Tony
Ongarello.
No, Morwood.
Morwood.
next to me, Matthew.
Not
Nick. Good player. Grub.
Grubby Stubbs, yeah.
Administrator Andrew
Ireland.
Thank you. And Beryl, who is 84. And
champion.
Absolute champion. Total champion.
Coming up next, we're having a peek at what's happening in the 12 o'clocks.
Hickory dickory dock! Crivens, look at the clock! Midday! It's noon! Get out there and kick the dew off the grass! The 12 o'clocks. Please let them pass.
That's what we're about to do, Unc, and yes, all around the football world. The Magoos, the Seconds, getting ready to take the field. We're going down to the East Gippsland Football League. Lindenau, they're the Lindenau Cats.
Yep.
They're hosting Painesville this weekend, and their coach is injured. Now, I don't know how an injury affects a coach. So is it the hand you use to move the magnet board around?
He must be a playing coach, surely.
Let's find out. Morgan Davies joins us. Good morning. Welcome to the Coulda Beans, Morgan.
Morning, boys. How are you?
Okay, now tell us about your injury.
I did my knee last year against Painesville, the same game last year, and been out ever since.
So theoretically you're a playing coach?
Yeah, yep. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. And the injury itself, there was no malice in it?
No comment. No, not really. Got knocked over and unfortunately did my knee. So I've had a full reconstruction and hopefully we'll be back at it sooner than later.
And when you say sooner, will you play again this season?
Don't tell my girlfriend, but maybe.
You're planning to. Now, how are the Lindenau Magoos travelling? Are you on track for the finals?
We're two and four. Mm-hmm. And travelling okay. We started off like a clap of thunder, really well, and sort of faded away to non-existence. But we should rebound today.
Now, how does that go within the dynamics of the club? Do you find you're losing players who are getting elevated up to the ones?
Yeah, yep. Definitely. The thing is, we've had a lot of injuries and things like that. But through the seconds and the thirds, we seem to keep fielding a pretty strong senior side. Okay. So we should aim at getting a win in that too.
And how about Painesville? What's their form like?
We beat them last game. They actually had a stacked second side in round one because the field their senior players weren't training, so they put all their good senior players in the second.
Dropped out, Morgan.
Hey, we've lost the line there.
We'll get
Morgan,
the president of Painesville, behind him with a dirty great mallet.
We'll get Morgan back.
Do you reckon the president of Painesville is an old beatnik? Whack out, isn't it? That's Painesville, man.
Just while there's a break in transmission, I didn't do the traditional score update from the curtain raiser.
Yeah, good idea.
You blokes, we just take it so much for granted these days that there's no longer curtain raisers.
I know, isn't it terrible? And there is actually a game. Yeah.
We've got a VFL match between Geelong and Port Melbourne for you, Torchy.
Oh, good.
No sign of...
That's George Allen.
George Allen, Bobby Proffitt.
Buster Harlan.
Yeah. Buster Harlan, no appearance. But Geelong 7-4, 46 lead Port Melbourne 4-3, 27.
Thanks, Coach. I've just got a job for you. Reach for your footy record there and have a look for Billy Burston for me. Let me know how he's going.
Yeah. That's
your homework.
Now, I assume if they're four goals down, Port, it might be just about time to start a fight.
Speaking of which, the president of Painesville didn't sneak up behind you, did he, Morgan?
Sorry?
The president of Painesville didn't sneak up behind you and biff you one. That's why you dropped off the line.
No, it was the coach.
So you've got this season, you've got winning form against Painesville. You've got any kind of idea what sort of side they've brought over from Lakeside today?
Oh, not really. They come out of the woodwork a little bit there, blokes. I think they pull a few out of the pub and whatnot on a Friday night pretty early, and they seem to scratch up a pretty handy second side week in, week out.
I suppose it depends on whether the fish are running, who comes out for them.
The prawns.
Just run around Raymond Island, chuck them in the back of a ute and catch the ferry across, I reckon, Morgan.
That's right.
Morgan, it sounds like there's some extra curry between in the Lindenau Painesville clashes.
Yeah, there has been in the past. There has been in the past. It's always a good game against them. You go down there and it's always expect a tough game. And it's same when they come up here, and it's a bit wet and muddy today. So I have absolute confidence that we'll be back at it again today.
I think there's a couple who live up in Melbourne, Morgan, who make the trip to see Lindenau every weekend. Are you aware of that couple?
A couple in Melbourne?
Yeah.
There's a few senior footballers that come from Melbourne, but I don't know an older couple, you mean?
Yeah. Just do they have an affinity with the club? We spoke to them a couple of years ago, but maybe I've got my wires.
No, you have. They go the other way. They go down the west. They might go down to Casterton or something like that.
Casterton. The Casterton Cats.
Yeah, that's the old couple that go to Casterton Cats, I think.
Yeah. I've got the wrong cats.
Different cats.
Yeah.
Morgan, just before we let you go, tell us about how the juniors are there at Lindenau. You said before about players going up to the first. What do you field below the reserves?
We have a third side, which are under 18s, and they won the premiership last year. And again, they'll be strong again coming into the final this year. But there's a lot of the thirds boys playing seniors today. I think we've got about five, and we'll have a few playing in the seconds as well. And below that, we have an under 16s, an under 14s, and an under 12s.
That's very strong, very healthy for the future. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Now, that's terrific. And Morgan, look, all the best with that knee. Love to see you playing before the season's over.
Thanks, mate.
Then you have to get someone to carry the clipboard for you.
Yeah, I'll find someone to do that, I suppose.
That won't be too much. Thanks very much, and all the best, Morgan.
Thanks, fellas.
Morgan Davis, the currently injured playing coach of the Lindenau Cats in the East Gippsland Football League. You're with the Could Have Been Champions on ABC Local Radio. Now would be a very good time to hit the phones if you want to join Covey's quiz. 1-300-222-774 is the number. 1-300-222-774, and Andy will park you in the queue. The quiz is coming up, of course, after we talk to somebody's brother.
Linked by genes and blood, fate's hand might have dealt him a dud. They might have got sick of the mud, blood, sweat and tears, but the bros of the pros have endured the years and stamped their own name on club souvenirs. The siblings to the stars, oh brother, where art thou?
Thanks, Unc. And joining us this morning on the Oh Brother, Where Art Thou segment is one of the veterans of an absolute golden age of footy, and that was when Fitzroy were playing through the 80s. That really were magical times. Fitzroy had absolutely nothing, no home, nothing. They were like the gypsies of football, but gee, they played entertaining football. And joining us is the older brother of Richard Osborne, Graham. Graham Osborne, welcome to the Could Have Been.
Good morning, gentlemen.
And oddity, Graham, even though you were older than Richard, you actually came down to Fitzroy after Richard had started.
Yeah, he'd been there probably 2 years, I think, before I got down. I probably went along a different path to Richard. He went through the under-19 program, but I started working at a pretty young age and in hospitality, which meant Sunday footy was for me. So my first footy was in the VFA, and Richard had been there for two seasons before I was invited down.
Which VFA side?
I played for Preston. Okay. Played under Ray Shaw. Played in a premiership there in about 83. So two seasons there.
They were a good, tough side.
They were very tough. Yeah. So were some of the teams we played against.
Well, the whole league was weak. There weren't any lightweights in it, was there?
Well, you had to be tough. I think that was part of the recruiting process.
Mm. And, Graham, who invited you from Preston down to Fitzroy?
Well, I don't remember who it was. It was almost as I came off the ground in the grand final. A fellow wandered up to me and introduced himself. I don't remember his name. Just said he was involved in recruiting at Fitzroy and would you be interested in coming down and doing a pre-season?
Did he have a paper bag? Or anything?
No, nothing like that.
Had Richard been talking you up for a couple of years, do you think?
No, I don't believe so. He would have only been a kid himself. I think he played his first game, only just turned 17, so he would have only been an 18-year-old with a season and a half under his belt.
And where did you play your junior footy? Were you at Doncaster Way?
No, that was the recruiting zone for Fitzroy, so we all played at Bullane Templestowe. That's certainly the club I played with.
We're just talking about now the enjoyment that the old Fitzroy club used to give us during the 80s, but having a look at some of the players that you had around you when you first arrived, you must have been a bit starstruck with blokes like Bernie Quinlan running around and Gary Wilson and Matty Rendell and those sort of blokes in the team.
I was very fortunate. My first captain was Gary Wilson, and there's blokes like Gary Sidebottom was playing in those days, and Dave McMahon, who was a club legend. I ended up wearing his jumper. So,
Mickey Conlon.
Pretty exciting. Mickey Conlon was a great mate.
Lee Manane.
Lee Manane. Actually, Coves, when I ran into you the other week, I said to you, I'd spoken to Greg Champion previously, and always talk about his songs, and one that Fitzroy people always used to talk about was Fitzroy, you're going to miss Lee Manane.
Yes. Yes.
Who walked up 5 minutes later at the booth I was at, but Lee Manane.
Oh, that's great.
Is that right?
He was there on the day.
And I ran into Graham down at the Barman Heads Festival of the Sea. You were handing out show bags. Last time I saw you, you were behind a bar pulling drinks.
Hey, Graham, there was Fitzroy, you're going to miss Lee Manane, and there was Rothy Thornton has a football brain.
Yeah,
Rossy Thornton. Is he around Graham?
Ross. Well, I haven't seen Rossy for a long time, but I know he's an owner of a couple of McDonald's business. So I think he's travelling pretty well. He's got out of the banking business.
Mm. Now, Graham, tell us who coached you when you were at Fitzroy.
Well, my first senior coach was Rob Walls. I had him 84 and 85. David Parkin came across in 86, and I had him for three seasons. And in my last year was Rod Austin in 89.
Oh, yes, Curly Coach Fitzroy.
And that was the unusual thing because actually Fitzroy and Carlton swapped coaches, didn't they, really?
That's exactly right.
What happened in 89 to make it your last season, Graham? Did you succumb to injury?
I was 27, I think, in 89. But in 88 and 89 combined, I think I played something like four or five senior games. And as much as it's a thrill to play any level of league football as a young fella, when it becomes everything about your life to have the disappointment of not playing senior footy, it's in the end it was a pretty easy decision. And I said to the footy club, and they were still keen for me to stay on the list. I said, look, it's really time that I go and look at other opportunities. And even the night prior to the draft, I was in touch with the club, and I ended up going back to them and saying, if I don't get selected with the last pick, pick me up. And then even just before that, but before the draft happened, I rang them back and said, no, look, let's not do it. I really need to move on, and didn't get selected and ended up in Tassie and had a fantastic time over there.
Were you coaching?
No. I went to a club called Sandy Bay in Tassie, and Shane Williams, ex-Bulldogs Richmond Caps player, he was the coach.
Yep.
And he got sacked mid-season, and they asked me to do the job, but it was just never something that I wanted to do.
Graham, tell us about that era at Fitzroy, where really Fitzroy was everybody's second team. You played such an attractive brand of football, but the club itself was absolutely embattled. But obviously you had a phenomenal camaraderie.
Yeah, whether it be on or off the field, we had a fantastic support. I mean, people like yourselves... We must have had so many fundraising functions and
six, I think I remember, Graham.
That was in 1 year.
How many that you were involved in?
Yes.
Yeah, I remember we had people like Kylie Minogue and all the Neighbours people would come to concerts. We'd rattle the tins there, but on the field, I think there was a lot of single boys. There weren't too many family men. You said Rossy Thornton, he's probably about the only one that that comes to mind. So we were very strong socially, and when you're in difficult times, you call on the support of each other, and we're all very a very positive group of people, and all got on very, very well.
Talking about getting on with people on the field. Did you or Richard look for each other to kick the ball to each other?
Oh, look, I don't think so. I think if I was coming out of the centre and you had two options, you may have tended to look for Richard, but I think that would be he was probably one of the more dominant forwards, and you'd look for him whether he's your brother or not. I remember instances where supporters thinking they're supporting you and suggesting to me that I was getting dropped because they were concerned that Richard was going to come in and get reported looking after me on a few occasions. But anyone who knows Richard would know that that's not the case.
Graham, I'm interested to know, not only yourself, but other players who leave the game. Do you still have your number 19 hanging up in your wardrobe at home?
In six seasons, I think my first jumper was 47, so I would have had five number 19s. Mm. And up until very recently, I had still five number 19s. And I worked at the Kangaroos, and I formed a really close relationship with one of the supporters there, and he turned 50, and I ended up getting it framed up for him and giving it to him. So I've got four or five.
Yeah. Do you ever put them on when everyone's out of the house, walk around in the Joncos?
I tell you, I did put a jumper on the other day. I played in in the Bicentennial Carnival, which was like a state of origin, and I started in the VFA, I looked at this old... I think my son had looked at a photo, and he said, "Have you still got that jumper?" And I pulled it out, and I reckon it was one that I've washed. And they were woolen jumpers in those days, and you can imagine the size of it. So I slid it on to see if it would fit, but no, not too good.
I'm looking forward to the day when I pick up the paper and read some story that Graham Osborne, to help educate his kids, is selling one of his number 19 Fitzroy jumpers. It's going to be at Leonard Joel auctions alongside a Bradman baggy green.
And Graham, tell us where your footy loyalties are today.
Well, I didn't really become a Brisbane person, and it wasn't I didn't want to support them. I've probably never been a big footy fan, and I worked for the Kangaroos for 4.5 years, and it was my little bloke Alexander's 11, so he would have maybe started there as a 4 or 5 year old, so that was his first membership, and Olivia, my daughter's a Kangaroos member, so they're really my club now. I think once you meet people at football clubs, it's very easy to change your loyalties once you've got some friendships.
Yeah, being in it is very different to being outside looking in. Matt Rendell was talking to us a few weeks back, and we made the observation that modern football, as we know it today, with new franchises and the draft being the science that it is, there seems to be a lot of people from your era at Fitzroy who are more or less running footy. There's this Fitzroy mafia of Matt Rendell, Scott Clayton, and
Paul Roos.
Yeah, they're determining the shape of footy. There's another one happening.
There's one coaching
St Kilda. Yeah, at the junior levels, more Harris.
Yep.
Rossi Lyon.
Yep.
It tends to go in stages, doesn't it? I mean, if you look back at maybe some of the more influential coaches at Hawthorn, there was times when there was a lot at Hawthorn, and there still are Hawthorn coaches out there. Terry Wallace is now out of it, and then I'm sure Sheedy has had his dynasty. Exactly right. And I guess when you've got influential people like Walls and Parkin who are career coaches, you may be going to have those people. Whereas if you're at a club where you've got a different coach every other year, and they're not career orientated, maybe that's the reason.
Very interesting point. Wolsey and Parker are role models for all of those names that we mentioned.
Yeah.
When you were at Fitzroy and Parker first came, did he used to ring you up on a Friday night?
He did. Yeah. He did. He'd ring up and give you the little pep talk as to what he expected of you the next.
He would have been lucky to catch you. He'd ring you about up our six.
And then he'd say, "Pass the phone over to your brother." knock a couple off in one call.
He must have had a decent phone bill, Parker.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
And the club wouldn't have been covering it either.
Well, I think Tommy Hakey was big on the Friday night call. I think he's still ringing players.
Well, I remember.
Can't give it up.
I remember Parker saying about Carlton that he rang everybody, but he didn't waste a lot of time on Bruce Doyle.
Graham's been terrific talking to you this morning, and thank you so much and all the best.
That's a pleasure anytime, gentlemen.
Yeah. Kobe, you know what...
Graham Osborne, 37 games for Fitzroy.
Thank you, Graham. You know what Brucey said when Parker rang him up? I don't take the phone call.
Now, we're bringing all the resources of our ABC Sport Broadcasting to perform this modern miracle here, where Kobe's quiz is being managed from the grandstand box in Geelong while we're fielding the calls for you here in ABC World Headquarters. Kobe, are you ready to go with the quiz? I might just give Unc a little rest here, give him a bit more time on the bench.
Can you put the Unc on? I need the Unc just to
You need the Unc for a bit of a fire. Hang on, he's gone out to the coffee machine. Unc!
Have you got the football recorder in front of you?
Yep. It's hard to believe we've got time up our sleeve. Kobe, stop the clock for a quick quiz or a prompt comp.
Yeah, isn't he a pro?
Way to go.
He was on his way out. He just wheeled around and just did that one. Your first contestant is Jane in Hamilton.
Oh, hello, Jane.
Good morning, boys. Hello,
Jane. Good morning.
You're not making the trip into...
No, I've had to decide. I've come down to watch the Hamilton under-18s play North, South, East, West Gambia. I think, I don't know which one of the Gambias.
They're playing all points of the compass Gambia.
So I'm down here watching them, and my son is running the boundary.
Oh, that's tremendous.
Yes.
That's tremendous. We had a young fella that rang up last week on Covey's quiz.
We had lots of young fellas ringing up last week.
One of them got injured, so he went to running the boundary. He had the broken wrist or something, didn't he?
Covey, just to follow that, there's a bloke in the Northern League going around today who's boundary umpiring his 1,200th game.
1,200th game.
1,200th game.
1,200th game.
That's a lot of throw-ins. Okay, Jane, are you ready for the first question?
Oh, yes.
Right, Jane.
I haven't read the little paper yet.
I'm not using it today. My main source today is personal observation and the footy record.
The budget.
Yeah. The first personal observation I made was, and I mentioned as I was walking to the ground today, that Geelong have the premiership window with all the cups on display in the new premiership stand. How many cups are on display?
Nine.
If we had nine, someone's pinched one. Bad luck, Jane.
Sorry.
Bad luck, Jane. All the best with that under-18 game.
Go Cats.
Now, Phil is out at Murray Bridge.
Hello, Phil.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Murray Bridge.
Oh, we're past Murray Bridge now on the way to Footy Park to see the Tigers open the season.
Gee, you'll just get there in time for the bounce, Phil.
Yeah, we will. It's Phil from Leongatha and Max from Horsham.
Is there a lot of traffic making its way over to Footy Park with Richmond's... Is it Richmond?
Yes.
Yeah, it's the Tigers.
Yeah, is there lots of Richmond banners on cars?
Oh, I've seen one.
It's
ours.
Yeah, and the Tigers debuting their eighth player for the season. It's a fantastic thing to have done.
And Richo, so pleased to hear you using debut as a verb.
Yeah, of course. It's not used in any other way.
Correct.
Now, have you got a question for Phil?
Yeah, how many cups are on display here in the GFC Premiership window?
Eight.
Yeah, that is correct.
Correct.
Right, and now, talking of debuts, they used to be debuts, but they're now debuts.
Yep.
There's a boy making his debut for Melbourne today called Jordan Gisberts.
Right.
What number will he be wearing onto the Gardenia Park ground today for Melbourne? I better give you multiple choice. Is it 5, 10 or 15?
15.
Bad luck. It is not 15. Oh,
bad luck, Phil. Drive safely and enjoy your day at the footy there.
Thank you.
And is it Max who's with him from Horsham? Yeah. Now, Rowan is in North Ringwood. Go ahead, Rowan.
Hi, guys.
Rowan, who do you barrack for?
Collingwood.
Jordan Gisberts, is he wearing number 5 or number 10?
Who for?
Melbourne, today, making his debut.
Is it 10?
No, it's not 10. Morton will be wearing number 10.
Bad luck, Rowan. All the best.
Next
we go down to Warrnambool, and Galt is joining you.
Galt?
Galt, yeah.
Galt. Is that Rod Galt?
No, Galt McCluggage.
Oh,
okay.
He's Galt by sea.
He's going to get this question right, isn't he?
Yeah. Can you confirm Jordan Gisberts is wearing number 5?
I can, yeah.
Good, righto. Darren Milburn automatically qualifies for AFL Life membership today when he runs out to play for Geelong because he's racked up a certain number of games across Geelong and pre-season and international. How many games is it to automatically qualify for life membership of the AFL?
300.
Correct. I think 263 of them are with Geelong. And, of course, he was taught by the great Torch McGee.
Yes, right. You would never have guessed he'd ever get the
and
three.
And does that mean he gets into the footy for free for here on after?
I think
he
so.
Can't wait to retire so he can get in for free, apparently. Now, also from the footy record today, I'm looking at the profile of Geordie McKenzie. Are there any Geordies ever gone around before?
Yes.
Spelt J-O-R-D-I-E.
Up in Newcastle, I think there's been a few.
Right. Geordie McKenzie's, according to the footy record, if he didn't play footy, what would be the professional sport he would like to pursue? Is it A, cricket, B, golf, or C, soccer?
I think he played cricket at Terang, so I'm going to say cricket.
Good answer.
Oh, well, yeah. See, that's a thinking person's
answer.
See,
local knowledge,
yeah,
too.
Worked it out, yeah.
He played for the Falcons, too, by the way. And I must mention the Falcons got a boy making his debut today by the name of Jed Buse.
Oh, yes, saw that name.
Son of.
Son of Andrew.
I bet he pole votes well, because they all do.
Now, I'll give you another Geordie McKenzie. The last concert he went to, according to the footy record, was it A, Paul Kelly, B, John Williamson, or C, The Wiggles?
I'm going to guess Paul Kelly.
Paul Kelly, that's good. Did he used to go and see him in Terang, did he?
I'm sure he did.
I thought John Williamson might have popped through there at some stage. Anyway, well done. Let's go to Mark Blake's profile. And Mark Blake in the footy record, if he wasn't a professional footballer, would he like to pursue a career in A, fishing, B, basketball, or C, soccer?
Soccer?
Correct.
Oh, wow.
Why on earth did you say
something? Dominating. Who, don't put him under pressure. Ask him the next question. He might muck it up.
Soccer.
Now, he's in such good form. Let's just roll on here.
Righto. This is Galt still, isn't it?
Yeah, in Warrnambool.
Galt, what was the last concert Mark Blake went to? Was it Dennis Walter? No, was it AC/DC, Pink, or Matchbox 20?
AC/DC.
No!
Oh, Galt, you've stumbled. Bad luck, you're playing so well too. Glenn's in Werribee.
G'day, Glenn.
Good morning, boys, and Toby down at Sleepy Hollow.
Yeah, g'day, Glenn. Mark Blake, the last concert he went to, was it Pink or Matchbox 20?
He probably took his daughter to see Pink.
Well, if he had a daughter, he probably would. But I'm not aware of him having a daughter.
That's not correct.
And he didn't go to see Pink. No.
Next up is Brett, who's up in Hay in New South Wales.
Hay?
Brett.
Where are you from,
yeah.
Brett?
G'day, how are you, fellas? I'm from Hay, yeah, New South Wales. Yeah.
G'day. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, no, I don't ruin that gag for you.
Yeah, it's a new one.
Okay, you got a chance to steal the chocolates here, Brett.
Hey, Brett. Yep. Did Mark Blake go to see Matchbox 20?
He did.
That was his last comment. Well done. Now, here's the final question. A bit of algebra. We just spoke to Graham Osborne.
20 seconds.
And add up his number and his brother Richard Osborne's number to give us the answer. He said he wore 19.
19, his brother's number. 42?
No.
Oh,
bad luck.
We've got a holdover prize. Thanks, Brett. And thanks to everyone else who played.
On the road, in the car, or settled back with a jar. I always has one at 11. ABC Local Radio, that's where you are. Can you smell the liniment? Feel the butterflies, it's match day. And you're on your way with the Caribbean champions, Jeffy, the team. If you please.
Thanks, Duncan. Welcome back to the Could Have Been Champions on ABC Local Radio. I'm Jeff Richardson. Good afternoon to Billy Baxter.
Good afternoon, listeners.
Torch McGee.
Yes, good afternoon to everyone out there.
Greg Champion.
Good afternoon around the world on the digital thing.
Online in Geelong, Ian Cover. Online in Geelong, Ian Cover.
Yes, he's there, somewhere.
Hang on, here we are.
There he is.
Not down in the rooms, Ian.
I had no idea what to do, but Matthew Drew just stepped up and just waved his finger over one green button and away
there
we
you
went.
Go. So trained ABC engineer.
I was actually at the back, as it was. I was talking to a security man here at Kidinia
Park.
What,
someone tried to bring a dog in?
No, well, now I've given him the whole details of Torch. If he's ever to come here again, look out for his dog. and make sure you've got a van they can lock it up in for the afternoon. He's wearing the security tag number 44, the man I was talking to.
Oh, the Richard Osborne of security.
Yeah. That's right. And the question before the news was Graham that's Osborne right. plus Richard Osborne would have given the answer of 63, and that's a number that means a lot to you and me, Billy.
Indeed it is.
And the man I was talking to wearing number 44, I can't give you his name, but I'll tell you off air, Billy, because he's in security and has to remain anonymous.
I thought he might have signed with Gold Coast.
He's an old school mate of ours.
Oh, Justin Madden.
He has the job of, at quarter and three-quarter time, of accompanying the Geelong coach, he tells me, down the stairs, out onto the ground and back. And he said in one of the early games, it was quite warm. He said by the time they ran back up the stairs, Bomber had actually left him about 20 or 30 stairs behind, and he was gasping for air.
And unable to afford the protection.
No, that's right.
I can't imagine, Ian, that a Geelong coach running down the stairs at Geelong would have ever been in any danger from any citizen.
You don't recall.
Oh, yes, with one exception, perhaps.
It's almost like Bomber's been here forever, isn't it?
Yes.
But,
yes.
No. Not necessarily.
Cast your mind back.
Where is Rod Olsen these days?
Ross Oakley will be joining us in just a few moments' time here in the studio. Is Jared there, Covey?
No, I haven't seen Jared. He may have been staying at the team hotel with the Melbourne team. They've lingered a bit long over breakfast, perhaps.
I thought we might get a little bit of an update from him on what's coming up after 1 o'clock on Grandstand.
Is there a running sheet down there, Cove?
No, there's not, but he'll be hosting the Grandstand pre-match from down here at... although this is not the game set down for description, he'll be down here hosting pre-match.
I believe Jared got first dibs on the ABC swag when he went
down.
And as for Geelong coaches, you've had your Blighties, you've had your Rod Olsen.
There he is.
Your Goggins.
Your Goggins.
Yeah, your Farmers.
Your Divines.
Your Divines.
And your Bobby Davises.
And your Davises. Your Hickeys.
Yeah. So,
your Piantos.
So the security guard has had work to do in the past.
Yes. Yeah. Well, not for some years now.
But and then, of course, after Gerald will do all the pre-match, then the Port Richmond game is a late start.
He'll be talking to Jeff Geeshan.
Yes.
The Geesh.
And there'll be talk back, but no umpire bashing allowed. And he'll be talking to Otto as well, Cove.
I've seen Brad Ottens. He's doing the rounds at the minute. He's not far away, as is. And I saw Brian Cook getting around as well. But it's quite exciting when you do get the broadcast from here because you see all these people in the media who to us are just names and voices, you know. It's very exciting.
Yeah, it's sort of like meeting Donald Duck, isn't it?
Yeah.
You are listening to the Could Have Been Champions wherever you are throughout the football universe. We're coming to you on ABC local radio on the broadcast Ether and through the digital stream. Yes, Ian?
Yes, just before we move on to the next bit, Jared has joined us in the box down here at Geelong. Good afternoon to you, Jared Waitley.
Covey, Cutters, apologies that last 10 minutes along the Trobe Terrace was just a little slower than anticipated.
That's all right. The executive producers told us who you've got joining you in the box for the pre-match, the Geesh.
Yes.
So we can really get down to a bit of serious football talk, and you can join in here and get in a bit of practice with us with our guest joining us in the studio now. I'm sure things will get tough and controversial while you're talking to the Geesh, but that couldn't possibly measure up to who's joining us in the studio now. The footy landscape nowadays includes Brisbane, the West Coast Eagles, Adelaide and Fremantle, and we just treat them as everyday parts of the footy world. There was a time when they weren't, and suggestions that they were treated as almost like science fiction, and they would never happen. The man who was chairman of the VFL Commission and then the very first CEO of what became the AFL, the Australian Football League, former St Kilda champ, Ross Oakley. Good afternoon, Ross. Good to see you again.
It's great to be here.
G'day, Oaks.
Yeah. And Ross, really, what extraordinary times they were that when you were involved in running footy, and footy as we know it today really was born during those years.
Yeah, look, when you look back, it was we had a pretty tough time.
I remember the
car
stickers.
we were broke as a competition. We knew we had to grow. We had to grow without money. Actually, it was quite interesting. I went down to talk to a group of the strategic planning group, the AFL, at a lunch late last year, I think it might have been. And a couple of interesting questions. They said, How many did you have in your strategic planning group at the AFL when you were there? I said, one, me. And they said, do you think $100 million will be enough for the Gold Coast team to survive for the next 10 years? And I said, look, I can't answer that question. I'm not close enough to it, but it sure as hell is a hell of a lot more than we gave. And in fact, we took $4 million off them. And their eyes widened. Yeah. You know, these younger guys there didn't understand the history of it.
And,
or,
and when even the, you know, the West Coast, as people think as a power club, when they were starting up, they had not very much, did they?
No. Look, they made mistakes like everyone did in those days because it was all brand new stuff. I mean, they didn't have memberships. They had debentures. They issued debentures, you might remember, in the first year because they were businessmen and they thought, well, we'll issue debentures. Well, of course, the footy supporters didn't have a clue what a debenture was.
So no one the reserve sat.
I don't even know what one is today.
So no one bought one. Then they lost all that money because in those days, of course, the money that went through the gate, the turnstiles, was shared with both the clubs. So they lost a lot of their finance early on. So the next year they very quickly introduced membership and started to pull the money
in. Torch, were you ever overwhelmed by the enormity of what you had to do? And secondly, by the realisation it would make you very unpopular?
Yes, I suppose in reflection I was, but I had a wonderful wife that brought me back to reality very quickly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, look, we all know that before we introduced the clubs from non-Victorian states, that 75% of the people in Victoria didn't want a national competition. They thought it would destroy what they knew, the VFL.
Yep.
And, I mean, today if you ask Victorians, 90-95% of them say, oh, gee, isn't this just fantastic?
And it is.
Yeah, exactly. So it's very difficult to change things that have been around for a long time. Very difficult. People don't like change.
Ross, good afternoon. It's Cove down here at Geelong. I'm sorry I'm not near to say good day to you.
Coves, how are you?
Very fond memories of you attending the Pivots one day here.
Oh, don't bring it out, Pat.
Is the statute of limitations been lifted?
Yeah, I think it has.
Well, look, as you say, there was that whole period you went through and there was a lot of emotion because football's a passionate and emotional game and everything. And you were the man in the public spotlight. So one day Ross decided just to come to the Pivots at Geelong and not be the
have
boss of the
have a relaxing
footy day.
Day
with some footy fans. Yeah. And I've got to say, we all got very relaxed, didn't we, Ross?
Well, fairly relaxed. Anyway.
Fairly relaxed.
Yeah,
yeah. And
in the Ted Whitten mode of being relaxed.
Relaxed, yeah. Yes, and after the game, we thought we'd just pop over to another venue. Mm. And I'd been not as relaxed as others, so I was in my ute. And that's I said correct. To Ross here, come for a ride. I'll drive you over there. And Ross saw the ute and said, I'll hop in the back. So I pulled the tarp back and Ross got in and I pulled the tarp around him. So it was just his head and shoulders were sticking out of it. And I put a Geelong scarf on him. We drove up the road out of the ground and the fans were all waving, going, oh, it's Ross Aitken. What a good bloke.
Isn't he relaxed?
Gee, that it must have made a pleasant change from the booze, Ross.
Yeah, well, I think the Geelong scarf helped a fair bit. Yeah.
Well, looking back at those days, and of course, looking at the Swans in the early 90s, how close was it all to going pear-shaped, really, Ross?
Many occasions it was close to going pear-shaped. We had no money and we were trying to grow this game to provide us with a TV audience that would create funds for the competition. But it's a little bit like Catch 22, which comes first. You've got to grow the competition to get the money, but how the hell do you grow the competition without money? And we were very fortunate that we had some private entrepreneurs that were actually prepared to put some money in to help. And I'd never fail to recognise those guys whenever I go and speak at a club luncheon. Of the clubs that are involved, were involved in that. I always mention the fellows that put their hard earned into it that actually helped create the competition that is today.
Hey, Ross, just also talking about all that days and stuff, and of course... You don't have to do it anymore, but you would have had to go and front the media like every Saturday, come around the boxes like I'm seeing Brian Cook going around the moment. He's obviously being asked one question and one question only.
Yeah.
In the days when you were being grilled by the media and all, who was the toughest? Who used to give you a hard time? Can't know. Was it the ABC, was it?
Oh, they had their moments. Mm. The 7:30 report had its moments.
Oh, gee, you got on there.
I actually banned them for 12 months. Banned every league person from talking to them. Because they recorded an interview of mine and cut and spliced it and made it sound quite different to what it was. But, they don't do that these days.
No, that wouldn't happen. No.
Well, and you had your own media man, didn't you? Who was Mike Sheehan?
Mike Sheehan, yes, indeed. Yes.
Mm. Who became known as Mike Sheehan of the AFL.
Yes. Well, he did a terrific job, but he decided that he wanted to talk more about the game and what was going on in the game, so he went back to the Herald Sun.
And he's still doing it. Still talking about the game.
He is.
Ross, another thing you oversaw, and it's now a highly refined science, but it was very hit or miss in its early days, but it really defines the game, and that is the draft. Tell us about the introduction of the draft and maybe some of the snags that hit early.
Yeah, look... in retrospect, the draft didn't have a huge impact early on for a couple of reasons. One is that, the young players that were being selected from the draft took quite a few years to get into the system. Nowadays, nearly everyone that's playing has come through the draft or,
they'll play first season.
Yeah. And we didn't have an under-18s competition, a Teal Cup sort of competition. So the players were not well prepared. And so they took a lot longer to become good players in the league, unless they were a Timmy Watson or someone who stepped in and was a champion. Nowadays, of course, this competition prepares kids brilliantly. And you see the Scullies and these sort of kids stepping straight in and being champion players. So the draft was maligned early on because they didn't feel it was having the impact that it should have. But as we know, as it grew and as more and more came through the draft and as we got choices from the draft that were more in line with their positioning of their choice... So it's had a terrific impact, and you see teams now like Melbourne and these clubs are starting to really play fabulous footy with young players.
Ross, I was personally upset by the car stickers up yours, Oakley, because I'd met you and I thought they were very unfair. Mm. There are still people today grieving about Fitzroy's loss. Mm. No other club has gone out of existence since then. Mm. Could they have been saved? Should they have been saved?
Yeah. Look, that's a $64 question, isn't it? If we had the money that the AFL has got today, we could have made the same decision that the AFL commissioners made today. That is, let's put some money into the clubs that are really struggling. Although they still only put... what is it, $7, $8, $9 million? The most any club gets is $2 million. The differences between the clubs is Collingwood's making more than $60 million, and so are some of the interstate clubs making between $50 and $60 million, and some of the Victorian clubs are making under $30 million. So they've got half the turnover. So it really hasn't, at best it's saved them, but it hasn't evened up the financial differences between the clubs. But I think probably one of the things that I was most maligned about was in relation to Fitzroy. I, in fact, saved the club 3 or 4 years in a row by bringing forward distributions. And the third year, I was really hauled over the coals by the rest of the commission for doing what I did to keep Fitzroy alive. And indeed, the White Knight that came in, remember... Hart, wasn't it? Ernie Hart?
Truckee Magnate. Yeah.
He was seen as the White Knight. In fact, he loaned Fitzroy some money, loaned it to them, at an interest rate of 8 or 9%, and he was supposed to be the White Knight. We were giving them their next year's dividends a year forward at no interest.
So they maybe had to go, and they're gone. But neither club has been lost. So somehow a lesson might have been learned from that.
Well, I think the lesson is that when you've got lots of money, you can decide to invest it in what exists as well as into the future. We didn't have the money in those days, and we knew that we had to grow the competition. And that decision was made, and you know that'll be we'll stand in judgment on that decision over the years.
Yeah, given that in fact the club rather than clubs going out of existence, we're actually expanding now. Mm. Is the Gold Coast and Greater Western Sydney going to work, Ross?
Well, $100 million,
and probably the very best 18-year-old footballers in the nation.
You must understand that Gold Coast is now more than twice the size it was when we put the Brisbane Bears in there. There's a lot more industry there. It's a huge catchment area, the Gold Coast, and so it has a good chance of doing well. Western Sydney. We're talking about a population out in the west of Sydney of close to two million people. 2 million people. Fitzroy had a support base, well, had a membership of less than 4,000, and a support base, well, we're not quite sure, but they certainly didn't support the club the way, or have the impact on the finances of the club, of the league, that the Gold Coast and West Sydney have got the potential to do.
Where did you grow up, Ross?
In Sandringham, Melbourne.
Oh, yeah. Okay, did you? Your brother, Father Dennis Oakley, was a fabulous footballer, not that you weren't.
Yeah.
I remember his footballing.
Did you play against him, Billy?
No, I didn't, but I do remember seeing him playing for Sandringham. Had you come through Sandringham's ranks yourself?
No, I went straight to St Kilda from school.
Okay.
Went to Wesley, as did Dennis, and I was played 3 years open football at school. I was 19 when I left school. I was a bit of a dumb bum. And
four were the best 3 years of your life.
And we won three APS premierships in those 3 years. And so I finished school footy and collegians and A-grade amateurs asked me to come down and play the last three games of the year, which I did. They played in the A grade final and we won a premiership there, so I won two premierships within 4 weeks. Alan Jeans happened to be at the final. He said, I want your son down to St Kilda. So I went straight to St Kilda. So I only ever played five games with collegians.
Well, what a cruel irony then that after serving them for so long and so well in their premiership year, you were injured and couldn't take part in the grand final.
Well, it's one of the disappointments, I suppose, that footy will always throw up, won't it?
And it's easy to forget this, that final series, St Kilda lost the second semi to Collingwood.
Yes, that's correct.
You played in that game, and that was when you got the injury?
Yeah, that's right.
What was it, Ross?
Knee.
Yeah,
I did it in 65 in the second semi. Had the operation over the Christmas break and came back the next year, played most of the year. Did it again in the second semi-final in 66.
We couldn't send you off.
We lost 65, but we won 66.
Yeah. Couldn't send you off to Germany to get a bit of Teflon put into your mouth.
And because 65, nice. 65, you finished clear on top of the ladder too, but we lost out in the finals. And St Kilda Sports thought, here we go again when you lost that second semi.
Yeah. Did you head off and coach after your career?
I coached in the amateurs.
Yes, I was going to raise that. We're talking to Ross Oakley. when Ross went to St Kevin's...
That's correct, St Kevin's.
You had to change your name from... You had to change your name from Oakley to O'Kelly.
That's right. I did. And
why was that?
Well, you've got to think back. This is in the early 70s, so different times. Yes. And to have a Protestant coach a Catholic school was a bit unusual. I had to learn to do all the crossing.
I'm sure that Alan Killigrew could have helped you out there.
He could have.
A lot of people involved in amateur footy, especially at St Kevin's, still refer to Ross as Ross O'Kelly.
That's right. Yeah, they do.
And what about these days, Ross? Do you just get a chance to go and watch the Saints play?
Yes, I do. I watch more TV than I watch live games, but I do enjoy going along to watch them play and watch any good side play. The football is just remarkable today, I think. Yeah. The speed and the skill levels, the delivery of the ball is... just second to none. It's just wonderful.
And Billy asked before about your brother, Dennis. Lots get said about brothers in football. Yeah. And it was always said that, you know, he was a fabulous player for Sandringham. And if he'd only come across the VFL, he would have been twice the player that Ross was.
Yeah. Well, he actually did come across. He went to St Kilda. They invited him down, and he played a pre-season with St Kilda under Killigrew, and I think the fact that he had a collar on back the front, and it was the wrong colour, Killigrew wasn't overly wrapped with him, so he went back to Sandy.
Yeah. And, of course, that sort of thing happened in those days. There wasn't such a huge gulf between the VFL and the VFA that there is today. Ross, you talked to us before about the draft and how different it was when it started compared to how it is now. When those early teams you started up, West Coast, a few of the others, they were seen to be struggling after a couple of seasons. They were given draft concessions.
They weren't really.
But yeah, and everyone has been a different sort of a concession. Yeah. But, yeah, they were compared to the crack at the draft that the Gold Coast and Western Sydney are having. The concessions that those clubs got were trifling.
Yeah, they were. It was atrocious. And, again, you see, we must place ourselves back in the mid-80s. The Melbourne clubs were very, very concerned about these clubs coming in from interstate and whether they would dominate the competition and destroy the Melbourne clubs. And you all remember the vote that was taken at VFL House, as it was then. The vote was 6-6 to bring in West Coast and Brisbane. The meeting was adjourned, and one of the presidents of a club was taken outside, and it was explained to him that they were broke and that we were getting $8 million in licence fees and every club would get an even share, so they'd get $666,000. We went back into the room and the vote was 175. And that's how the AFL, the VFL national competition, happened.
That closer run thing. But, of course, now we've got the same thing happening. You look at the crack at the draft these two new clubs are getting, it's hard not to conclude that in 5 years' time they'll be the two best teams.
Look, you can never conclude that, but they've certainly been given a much better chance, been given a fair chance. We didn't give the new clubs a fair chance.
Well, Brisbane got hardly anything, didn't they?
They were given players that were broken down.
I think Carlton gave them one player who was living in London.
That's right, exactly. But again, it was the times. You see, if we'd done what we did today, the clubs would have rejected that. The existing clubs would have rejected and said, no way, no, and Jose. We just had to get the national competition started, and we had to do it in a way that we were going to get the vote. And you remember the clubs ran the board at that point in time. We had to get the vote from them about it. And so necessity ruled.
I wonder who the seven clubs were and who the five clubs were.
It'll be in Ross's book if you're writing one. That's probably the most significant stat amongst it all, isn't it? Is the actual clubs voting themselves out of running the show and the formation of the commission.
That was the biggest decision in the 100 and whatever, 120 years of the AFL codes. The greatest decision that was ever made to bring a failing competition to what is now a dominant national competition. That was the decision to bring in an independent commission and not have the conflicts of interest that the board had.
And as I said here, Ross, I mean, this is, you know, Geelong had its own woes 10 years ago, which is post all that 80s stuff. But to think the club's prospering, and I said here looking across it, not one but two new grandstands in the space of 10 years just shows how big the competition is, that it can support developments like that.
Well, in my first year, we were offered $3 million for the television rights and we rejected it. And you remember we went with Broadcom, who was a wholesaler of the rights. We were trying to break down the cartel. But I know that's the wrong word. That didn't exist. We ended up getting about $6 million in our first year. Now
The ABC took the rights.
They did. They took part of the rights. They took the bits that we couldn't. They took Melbourne. I think they think SBS took Sydney, I think, in New South Wales.
And now it's $1,000 million, the rights, the TV rights. Right.
A competition that's just grown unbelievably, and
what about
something that we always hoped would happen, but never, never could.
And it has become such a great entertainment spectacle and everything else. The greatest entertainment part, of course, is always Grand Final Day, Ross. And there's been some people make appearances pre-match, half-time.
You're not going to get into this, are you?
What's been the greatest decision ever made at the headquarters about entertainment?
There's absolutely no doubt. Angry Anderson on the Batmobile. The greatest decision we ever made.
It's the only one that's still talked about. People can't remember who it was last year, but no one forgets that one.
And as far as singers, it'd have to be Marucci Baramba.
What about the could have been at half-time in 87?
We were on the hovercraft.
That was good.
This throws up the Dermy is a Hood saga.
Controversy.
I thought I would call the Hawthorn Club and check that it was okay to sing the song, and I got Alan Joyce on the phone, and he said, "No way you're singing that." I thought I'd ring the club and get Dermy. I thought Dermy would answer the phone.
he had a great humour, Alan Joyce. I remember when he came to be interviewed by the club, I was sitting on the Hawthorn board, and I thought, because I played footy with Joycey at Wesley, and he was my first ruckman. I was the first rover. Mm. So I thought, I'll relax him a little bit. And I said, "G'day, Joycey, how are you?" "Hey, Ross." Sitting at the board table with all the directors, I said, "Who would be the best rover you've ever rucked to?" And he said, "Not you."
Jesus, okay.
So
that was the end of that.
So I ring the Oak. I say, "Joycey won't let me sing Dermy as a Hood." And Oak said, "Leave it to me." 2 weeks went by. I ring Oak back. I say, "What happened?" He said, "You're right. You're not singing it."
That's funny.
What you would give, Ross, to have the powers that Andrew Dimitriou has today.
Well, I don't. It's not so much the powers. It's to have the freedom to make decisions that we couldn't make sometimes because of the lack of finance. It's all when you're looking at the strategy, the competition, there's always a financial imperative in there that guides all the strategic decisions. And I think now they're making some wonderful decisions off the back of the fact that, you know, they've got tremendous funding behind them, and the money they're spending on development and Indigenous footy in South Africa. I mean, it's just fantastic. Well, I just wish we could have done some of those things.
Gazing into your crystal ball and knowing that money stream is going to continue, where do you see the future going for the AFL?
Look, it's always a difficult question. I do believe that it would be fantastic if we could get some sort of overseas component. And Africa seems to have been the right choice to me from the commission. They're tall, live, they can run, they don't have a lot going for them. You can invest money there, not a lot of money to get a real return. China's another place that they're looking at. I'm not sure that the Chinese are as well suited physically as the Africans are. I commend their forethought to spend some money to try and go into these areas and develop them.
You're responsible for a more sophisticated administration, but administration aside, what about the game of footy? Do you enjoy watching it? Is it a better game? How do you feel about it as a past player and as a fellow who oversaw the comp?
Yeah, a better game. Look, I enjoy watching it. There are elements of it that I don't like. Mm-hmm. I can understand why the ball is transferred across the ground to try and open up this flooding problem. But the game doesn't. The game grows and develops, and the rules are exploited, and then coaches cut that rule off by doing something else, and it just keeps evolving. If you keep reacting with rule changes, you can sometimes change the whole nature of the game. If you let the game find out the ways of solving some of these issues, it's probably a whole lot better off. And whilst there are elements of it that I don't like, I think we'll find solutions to those issues. I think Geelong has found some solutions. I mean, their pinpoint passing just breaks down the flooding that other teams have. So maybe clubs have got to get better at delivering the ball and
comes back to skills.
The young players coming through are better at doing that than compared to how all of you kicked the ball back in 1961.
Half of us were lucky to kick left foot.
Two-thirds
were lucky to kick left foot.
We'd still like to see the old stab pass, though, wouldn't we?
Stab pass, yeah, well. Yeah.
Billy Goggins straight to Doug Wade on a lead.
All that.
Well, Skilts was considered to be a freak, wasn't he? Because nobody knew which foot he kicked with.
No, and Ian Stewart, who I played next to for 5 years. They were brilliant players. We've seen the punt come back, Coase.
Yeah.
I mean, we've seen more of the torpedo. Punt. Yeah. Wonderful.
Yeah. It's fabulous. Ross screwy. Oakley, it's been wonderful talking to you on the Kudamines this afternoon. Thank you so much for joining us.
Pleasure.
Good on you, Ross. And just as Ross departs, Jared's here again. And Jared was enjoying this. Did you ever get to interview Ross Jared when you were doing it?
No, actually, we interviewed him after he was inducted into the Hall of Fame last year, but slightly prior to my time.
Yes, well...
not prior to ours.
Brad Ottens, you've been stalking him. Is he making his way in here, is he, Jared?
He'll be here. We're going to speak to Jeff Geeshan first.
Yes.
And then Brad Ottens will be about 1:45.
And as we said at the top of the program today, Jason Ackermanis has apparently been given 48 hours.
Did they lock him up?
It's less than 48 now, I'd imagine.
There are major dramas at the Bulldogs, and we outlined this in the pre-match last night between the club and Ackermanis, which has got to be sorted out. They want to get through tonight's Hall of Fame inductions, which is one of the most significant events in the Dogs' history, and then they have to figure out what to do with a player who was less than truthful with them and whose form doesn't warrant a place in the team. So where he fits in the Bulldogs right now is very difficult to answer.
Well, look, I think there's one more important question than that for you, Jared.
Mm-hmm.
Are you still on the Freo bandwagon?
Oh, very much so. They helped me enormously with my tipping last week. I've hit the front in a meaningful way in a couple of footy tipping competitions.
Thanks, Jared. We will be listening with great interest after one. Jared Whateley and Grandstand with the pre-match coming to you from the Grandstand studios down there at Cadinia Park. Torch's Talkback coming up. But first of all, Torchy, we've got to do the footy quad for this week. What are Torch's tips?
Okay, we'll make it quick because we've already mentioned it. But last week, Richmond, the Bombers let us down because they let Richmond outscore them in the last quarter. So we did have...
Jack Riewoldt had nothing to do with it.
No, that's right. We did have that three-legged quaddy, so we didn't get the last leg. Today, this week's game is tonight's game up at the Gabba between Brisbane and Collingwood. And I'm expecting Brisbane to come out pretty hard and early in the game. Whether they can sustain it for all four quarters, I'm not sure. The numbers in the first quarter, I'm going Brisbane 1-2 to lead by up to 4 goals. Then I think it'll turn slightly and it'll be 1-9, so Collingwood possibly coming back. 1-9-10, Collingwood, and then Collingwood to kick away in the last quarter, 10-11-12. So I'm expecting that Collingwood
up
will win.
Up to 70 points.
Get away.
Yeah, no, I think it's up to 48, isn't it? I'll check that one.
That is a 7-10 start. They are Torch's tips for tonight.
7-10, that's right. Get on, and for 50 cent a unit, that'll cost you $18.
Coming right up now, it's Footy Talk Back with the Could Have Been Champions. Your chance to talk to Torch.
Torchy McGee, we'll talk to you. Gee, he's poised, fit to pounce on the blower. No need to be coy, just give him a hoy. Torchy's Talk Back, all clear. It's a goer.
Thank you, Uncle. We've got a full board of calls here, Torch. Let's get through as many of them as we can. First caller, go ahead, please. You're talking to Torch. Hello.
Oh, who's this?
It's Peter Hip.
Peter, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Cadinia Park.
Ah, so you've made the trip up from Peterborough to Geelong, Peter?
Well, it's wonderful to see that Melbourne are down here this year.
Right.
It's a great chance to catch up with some chaps.
And so what do you do, Peter? Do you entertain some of your friends from Melbourne for lunch before the game?
I can't say, but we'll have an enjoyable day at the football. Then we're all going back to my place at Peterborough.
Oh, really?
And we were just so thrilled to hear Ross Oakley back running the league. Just to have him on there. And if you could just get Sir Maurice Nathan to help him out, it'll be tremendous.
Get back to traditional values in football.
I wonder if he's taking them down in the back of the ute.
They might be in that tent out the back of the southern end where they have a roast lamb going at half time. Next caller, go ahead, please. You're talking to Torch.
Hello.
Oh, g'day, Torch.
Oh, who's this?
It's Danny here, mate.
Danny, well, you're a Bulldog supporter, is that right?
Yeah, I'm a little relieved.
You're relieved?
Yeah.
Oh, it would have been very disappointing for you last night, Danny. No?
Gone.
Dear. Next caller, you are talking to Torch on Kudabeen's Footy Talkback. Go ahead, please.
Hello.
Please, may I talk to Mr. Leonard, please?
Yeah, Mr. Leonard's not here, so you have to talk to Mr. McGee.
Please, may I talk to Mr. McGee, please?
Yeah, you're speaking to him?
Yeah.
Yeah, what's your name?
Lance.
Lance, where are you calling from?
I need some help.
Yeah, well...
I'm starting a new Geelong Coterie group.
Oh, yes, what's it called?
Well, I wanted to name it after one of the great players, so it's going to be the Unmentionables. Anyone who wants to join can.
Okay,
tonight in my bungalow.
That's a fantastic idea. The Unmentionables.
Are you going to the game today, Lance?
Yeah.
Good. And what are you going to say when you get there?
Come on, the mighty Cats.
And that's all the calls we've got time for. We'll cross to the Guru now. Mark, have we got the line up down to the temple? Yes. Come in, Guru.
Hello,
Torch is ready to talk to you.
Guru Bob, I can hear your music.
Hello, Torchy.
Yeah, good to see you again, Guru Bob. Or good to hear you, anyway.
Are you there?
I am here, yes.
Now, guess what?
You're mad and I'm not.
No, Jason has been down the temple.
Yes.
Yes. And we've been helping him out.
Okay.
He said, I feel UTH.
Yeah, under the pump?
Under the hammer.
Under the hammer.
And UTP.
Under the pump.
Under the pump. He said, I also feel ITB. ITB. In the barrel.
Barrel. Okay, yes.
And fill out the missing word here. This week, I've had the blank turned on me.
The blowtorch.
The blowtorch.
Yes.
And the Supreme Master told him,
yes.
To listen to those drums.
Yeah, they're fantastic.
What happened there? The Supreme Master said, I already know the Bulldog's decision on your future.
Right.
He said, he told Jason, I know what it is, but I've been sworn to secrecy.
Yes, along with a lot of other people.
That's all.
All right.
Bye-bye.
So thanks to the Guru. We've got a bit of mailbag to get through here. Did you realise, it's the 140th anniversary of the Port Adelaide Football Club?
Yes, there has been something.
I mean,
about
you celebrate hundreds, you celebrate 150, but 140 has now come into vogue. So well, I assume there'll be a gala sale of cheap household goods.
Swans ex players will go up onto that.
Did you notice last night that the Dogs had a different sort of jumper on, too, with an old Scragger on the front with FFC? Yeah. And apparently that's their Hall of Fame jumper.
Oh, that's why they
didn't help them.
That. What have you got there, Billy?
Look, there's an intriguing tournament called the Aussie Rules Masters Tournament. It's being held in Bali on the Queen's birthday weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Castlemaine are going over there. Yep. This is Dougie Doran has sent this through.
Yep.
They've been third the last couple of years. It's been played at the Kangoo Club. But have a listen to some of these teams that... are taking part. The Singapore Bintangs, Dubai Dingoes, the Darwin Dingoes. You've got two Dingoes there. The Batemans Bay Buccaneers, the Darwin Waratahs, the East Timor Crocs. Probably my favourite would be the Borneo Bears and the Jakarta All-Stars on top of the Castlemaine Magpies as well. So
they're all assembling in Bali to play a footy carnival.
That's right.
Fantastic.
The Aussie Rules Masters Tournament.
Now, it's the 40th anniversary of Noorat winning the premiership
today.
Yes. And they're having a reunion at Dan O'Keefe's cow paddock.
Oh, good.
And, you know, the best player in 1970 was Kevin O'Keefe, who ended up finishing third in the Brownlow when
he
played for
Fitzroy.
Fitzroy, yes.
Yeah, so that's on today.
And also, forward notice of the Yarrawaya Footy Club. They're holding a reunion to celebrate the following. The 65 Reserves Premiership, the 70 Seniors Reserves Premiers, the 80 Senior Premiers, the 85 Senior Premiers, and the 95 Reserves Premiers. Gee, all that's happening. So
you're getting through all that in one night.
Yeah, give Josh Noonan a bell on 0439 732 452 if you'd like to be part of that.
Yarrawaya.
Patty from Reservoir writes that things she hears at Richmond games, she's a big Tigers girl. Polak dropped a mark. And a supporter yelled out,
your goal, Simmons. Troy Simmons wasn't playing that day. He cops it even when he's not playing.
And there's another player announced his retirement.
That's right, Troy
Simmons. Yeah, Snake
Simmons. Yes. She attended with her daughter who'd been injured in a bicycle accident, and a fan asked her, did Campbell Brown clean you up too?
So never really cleaned anybody.
You know why they retired, don't you? They're all going to the Gold Coast. They're the signings.
You have been listening to the Could Have Been Champions on ABC Local Radio. It's good afternoon to Torch McGee.
Yes, and go the Bloods tomorrow.
To Greg Champion.
I'll go the Nord Redlegs.
Billy Baxter.
From me, enjoy your football. From Ian Cover, who's had to leave, go Cats.
And thanks to Andy and Mark out in the booth. Stay tuned now. ABC Grandstand commencing immediately. Thanks for listening.